Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the 13th day of June, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 54 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 64 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. It's cool. I mean, it's windy. It's cool. It's not what I want. I need some warm weather. I got some things I got to do. That being said, let's see. We were gonna just kind of do an overview of the of what we talked about in the Bill of Rights and kind of bring it to a conclusion, and then we'll get into some articles. That being said, we'll get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
I was born in the Southland 20-some-odd years ago. I left home for the first time, honey, when I was 4 years old.
I'm a freeborn man. Home is on my back. I know every inch of highway, every foot of back road, every mile of railroad track.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, like I said, you know, we concluded going over each individual right contained in our Bill of Rights, and today we're going to talk about its importance. There's nothing more important in a person's life than that Bill of Rights and understanding what their individual freedoms and liberties are. The fact is, if you're not violating another's rights, there is no limit. I mean, there is nothing you cannot do. We're going to hit some articles today talking about the consumption of marijuana and the fact that Jeff Sessions wants to come after medical marijuana, don't you know? Well, again, this is without authority. The government's never had nobody has the authority to tell you what you can or cannot take into your own body. If your body isn't your own possession, well, there, nothing is. I mean, there's no... There would be no conception of any kind of freedom and liberty. It is your right to be at peace with yourself and left alone. And you're going to see it we see it every day. Others thinking that they have a better idea of what's good for you and how you should live. And we've seen statutes, illegal policies enacted upon us and enforced upon us using deadly force. Under the notion that it harms society. This is the very reason that our true founders insisted upon that Bill of Rights. And, of course, we covered the fact that the Federalists, they said that, you know, we didn't, of course, we don't need no Bill of Rights. The limited powers right there in the Constitution. We can't go on now. We can't never touch your rights. I think that the anti-federalists were a little more in tune with the true intent of those aristocrats who wrote that constitution, I do believe. Like I said, you'll all of these traffic laws, I mean, any time that you're accosted, any time that you are detained in your travels, it can only be through warrant. I mean, you have the right to go about your business as long as you're not bothering anybody. I mean, a taillight out in your car, man, people are getting killed today. A signal light out, just walk up and just shoot you. We've seen it and get away with it because we're at the point where they are trying to completely remove the Bill of Rights. It certainly has been hidden. I mean, purposely. This, I mean, from the first day in school, if there was a, if it was a truly a, the intent that people live fruitful, free lives, the Bill of Rights would be taught from, I would say, it should be taught from like third grade on. And then at the before you would ever graduate or become of the age of maturity, you should know how to prosecute your life through the common law that you are guaranteed. When I say prosecute your life, that's truly what we're talking about here. I'm going about my business. I want to do something. Can I do it? Well, yes, I can. Am I? How do I come to that determination? Well, because I'm not bothering anybody else and doing it. I'm violating no other's rights. Well, the government, they've decided that your actions harm society in some way. You know, man, I'm trying to think of an instance like the smoking when they came in and started putting big taxes on cigarettes and stuff because, well, it's a burden on society because you get sick with the cigarettes and then I have to pay for it. Boy, they sold that to people, didn't they? What was left out of the equation there is, well, no, you don't have to pay for me if I get cancer and die. That's on me. I cannot come to you and say, I want your property to take care of my problem. That's how the Bill of Rights protects you from such things. But people, no, the government ought to step in. The government ought to stop and make a law and make, you know, tax these people and use that money instead of taking my money. And of course, all the money goes to the states anyway. And they really don't care if you live or die. And I think everybody's understands that at that point, this point in the ballgame. Again, by the time you reach the age of maturity, you should be able to write out a lawsuit or a criminal complaint and prosecute it. I mean, that should be the test before you enter into society as a full adult. That should be the test for, I mean, if somebody wants to be emancipated, that should be the test. I'm sure within the Admiralty, it's some kind of communist indoctrination test. Do you know how to get to your local communist, spill your problems on them and beg them to take care of them for you? Man, these allergies suck. At any rate, again, you know, the one thing I wanted to add is if you want to, you know, everybody's probably saying, yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying, but how do I apply it? Well, it would be applied. What the things to remember is that the basic structure, if you want to see a basic structure for to move a court, you would look in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure and see how that document's put together. And then, keeping in mind that that was put together by Pettifog and Mobo Conceptize with an agenda, you understand that in the common law, it's fact. There is no conjecture. It is all fact. And every document filed in a common law court must be in affidavit form. That means it's sworn testimony. Every bit of testimony. I mean, the things we see today going on in the courts is just it's they're not our courts and they're admiralty courts. They're the king's courts. But what we see going on is just completely ridiculous. That we talked about the Bundys and the fact that you know you can have three witnesses. Oh, really? Well, I guess this isn't a court of common law justice. It's an admiralty court where the court has already taken the liberty of deciding the guilt or innocence on a statute that cannot relate to me because the government could never make laws to control me. But again, every document in the common law, it's every bit of testimony And that's really what you're doing, even with a filing, when you file a civil action or a criminal complaint. What you're doing is you're giving testimony. You're giving testimony to the court. And all testimony has to be sworn testimony, because the penalty of perjury has to be there. Otherwise, people would abuse the law. So the thing being, if somebody abuses the law and you force them through the Bill of Rights, through the Fourth Article, to go and make perjured statements, of which you can turn around and you can get redress for the trouble they've caused you, trying to use the law for the wrong purposes. I'd like to emphasize that when you see a violation of the Bill of Rights, we talked about separating the rights. They'll come up and talk about the Fourth or Fifth or the Tenth Article. You hear it a lot. The Fourth Article is completely violated. It is infringed beyond belief by this occupying Vichy force that is in our country. The Fifth Article, you know, the due process, that they'd like to sit down and presume that they, you know, just like the Second Article, I fought it every inch of the way, but in the day it should have been stopped dead in its tracks back in 1930, I think it was 1935 or 1934. Maybe 1933, but the first Gun Control Act. I mean, we talked yesterday about this endless list of government agencies, thousands of them that are milking us dry. You talk about eating out your substance. You talk about the king eating out your substance. At any rate, this huge bureaucracy that cannot exist has become a wall between you and your rights. And the presumption that they ever had any authority over your rights is dispelled by the Ninth Article. To say that our Supreme Court is going to, they've made exceptions to your Second Article uninfringed, unalienable right. They've made exceptions. They're going to diagnose it and say what it is. No, you're not. Why? Because the Ninth Article says you can't touch it. It says you cannot create an authority. You cannot create a Supreme Court that can touch it. And then finally, people, I would say that it's absolute. It is absolute law written in absolute fact. It is the maximums and the procedures for our common law that keeps us free. And it has to stay that way. I mean, there's always somebody, there's going to be a good reason why you should. Well, you know, in the beginning, women were excluded, blacks were excluded, Indians were excluded. There were a lot of people excluded. You know, the aristocrats, they wanted to make sure that as many people were excluded from it, because they understood the absolute intent of the Bill of Rights also. But before they could start dismantling it, they had to start with an exception. Because what makes the Bill of Rights the power that it is that it is absolute. And just as simple as this, people, something that is absolute, there is no exception. There cannot be, otherwise it's not absolute and it doesn't work. If you allow one exception, you can say, well, we're only going to allow this exception, but then you done crossed that line. Then when you look back at the Bill of Rights, when you looked at it before you made that exception, it was absolute. You look back, it is not absolute. There is an exception to the absolute, and there cannot be. That is a contradiction in terms. So teach your children well, learn the Bill of Rights, and understand that you have to see it enforced. Sometimes it's a hard thing to do. The times that I've gone to jail and been beaten, I was not there for myself. I was there because I saw the violations, and I knew it was my responsibility to take it to task. And I understood how corrupt the judicial was. But it was my aim to take it right to the limit, to make them violate the law knowingly and right there and look me in the eye while they were doing it and affirm that there was no way didn't understand what they were doing. They understand exactly what they're doing. That's why they are guilty of treason with malice and forethought. It was, and you know, when they first started removing the Bill of Rights, they did. They kept it compartmentalized, the tactics they were using, and they'd use certain tactics here. And as they were training the next batch of pettifoggers coming up through the system, they would give them a little bit more of the admiralty and remove a little bit more of the common law. And when I got to tell you, when we hit them hard, I mean, I hit them hard because I was the only one here doing it. When I hit them hard with it, when I had it right, they didn't know what to do. They couldn't speak. Some of them walked right off the bench. And then you seen the federal cars show up, you know, with the U.S. government plates on them, lying both sides of the street. I mean, all the suits coming in. And then they're actually bringing people who are, understand it. And they know that what you, that they knew then that what I was saying was the absolute truth. It was the law. And that it bound them. And it was my authority over them. And they, but the thing is, by this point, it had become, it's just like the asset forfeiture laws. Now, they have been so, I mean, they couldn't exist, okay? They are a running violation of the Bill of Rights, every right in the Bill of Rights. But they did do what they did. And it came to the point to where people are going, hey, man, you are taking people's property that doesn't even have anything to do with your policy that you wrote down on the piece of paper and signed your name to. And that they came back and you know, they were told that they were going to have to stop doing this because it had become such a blatant violation that they couldn't explain it to the people who were sitting out there, the stupid people who were still letting them exist as a government. And what did they say? They'd come dependent upon it. This is our general fund. We can't operate the government. My goodness, people, look at that list that was provided yesterday. That's just the federal bureaucracy. That's just the head agencies. That aren't, isn't the people that are working for them. And not for you and me. They are no longer our servants. They have usurped our Bill of Rights. They've usurped the Constitution contract that gave them the little bit of authority that they were allowed in the beginning. They are rogue. They are illegitimate. It is an occupation. And I'm here to tell you that it will not end peaceably. We have, I mean, just like, we're right back to where we were back in April 18, 1775. They have asserted, they've made up their mind that they're going to be the masters, we're going to be the slaves. And again, back to April 18th, 1775, at some point they have to come for the guns. I mean, they have been out terrorizing people across the country. I've said it before, I think it's gonna take a significant move, or else it's gonna be a little while. People are gonna have to really get starved down to the point to where, you know, they're going hungry. They're being beaten every time they walk out of their house, because that seems to be what it's gonna take for some people. Rather than just saying, man, I cannot live without my freedoms and liberties. I cannot live without just being left alone. The thought that somebody can just come to you and just start bothering you for no reason. That is a violation of your rights, and they have set up a rogue, foreign-controlled government, wherein they're, you know, the Bill of Rights has been flushed down the toilet. I mean, there's a commercial that plays on the radio sometimes talking about, we're not the freest country on the earth anymore. And they lays out this big list of socialist countries that have all these freedoms. Well, we're not the freest country on the planet anymore, because we have allowed our freedoms to be, we've had allowed injunction to be put upon them. We have allowed a rogue body to take over what was supposed to be a service industry for us. We talked about California. Now, under California, you know, let's go with the writ of mandamus. I heard somebody talking about this morning that didn't know what they were talking about. But the writ of mandamus. Now, let's put this thing together in perspective. We are the masters. They are the servants. They work for us. And the Bill of Rights is a bill of prohibitions. That says you will not ever do this. And they're stepping out of line. They're not doing what we're telling them to do. We are the masters. They are the servants. And that writ of mandamus, that is what it's for. It wasn't for a back and forth for judicial this or BS this from any judges. That was our mechanism, excuse me. That was our mechanism for our control. You got to say, well, they work for us, but man, I can't tell them what to do. Well, yeah, you can. And that's what the writ of mandamus was about. Any government official, hell, anybody, even another person. The writ is just it's a lawful order to obey the law. That's what a mandamus comes down to. Now, right now, because Donald J. Trump, is posing, he's acting as the chief executive of the contract that we call our Constitution, it should be a simple matter. I'm telling you, this is just all it should take. If things hadn't gone this far, if we hadn't let it get this far out of control, just a simple mandamus from any American national to Donald J. Trump. You will go to California and you will remove every infringement put upon our Second Article Bill of Rights. You will send the military to arrest those who are usurping our Second Article Bill of Rights and acting under color of authority to remove our right to bear, own and bear arms as guaranteed, as absolute by our Second Article. And that's all it should take, people. Once he receives it, he's got 7 days to act under the common law. And then them troops better be there, or else you can go down there and start shooting them. And see, this is what it was supposed. We were supposed to be this aware of our rights, to the point of, you know, we're just completely gone now. But to the point of the first time that something like this happened, you know, let's say it was a little municipality who said you weren't going to carry a gun in town. Well, yes, I am, because you have no authority to tell me otherwise. Well, we're just a little town, and they would say, the federal government, they might ensure your rights. Yeah, you betcha, buddy. And the 10th article to that Bill of Rights says that what is prohibited to them is prohibited to you. Now, I will give you a mandamus. I'm going to order you to obey the law. And then I'm going to send to Washington, D.C. another mandamus ordering them to bring in enforcement for the Bill of Rights, for the second article. And, well, you 7 days later, nobody responds. We throw the militia together. You go into town and you hang some people. And you let it be known. You will not violate that Bill of Rights. This is what should have been done. The death that would have had to have occurred from the original enactment of the Bill of Rights to today would be a bit of a number. But it ain't nothing like what's getting ready to happen now. There is going to, a couple million of our people are going to die right out the gate. And if it started tomorrow, if they just came out and Trump came out and said, I've just decided because, well, I'm the king, that I want all the weapons turned in. There's too much violence in my kingdom. We're sending out people to confiscate the guns. Now that would get her going. It would bust loose and you'd lose 2 million people, because there's 2 million people who are just going to die trying to figure out what to do about it because they've not paid attention. All they've cared about is their comfort spots, their feathered beds, and their comfort zones. And so when it would come at us, it would become pretty evident to everybody once the fighting started that, hey, man, they're coming here. They mean business. They're as dangerous as the Russians were in 1917. They're as dangerous as Mao Zedong in 1960. I guess it is really. It's real. And then, well, we better get our act together. You better call Joe and Tim and Bob and Ralph, and you better get them together. Do you got any bullets, Ralph? Oh, I got a box for my gun. I'm ready. No, you're not. There are so people that...
Henry?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, hi there. How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
Good. Glad to hear it. You're welcome. I had a question. You mentioned, correct me if I'm saying it incorrectly, the federal rules for civil procedure?
Correct.
Okay, well, will I see something about the writ of mandamus in there?
Nope. The writs...
Nope.
No, the federal rules for civil procedure are basically... What you would see if you went to before the justice courts were completely removed, when you used to go there to get if you say you wanted to sue your neighbor because they, you know, broke your fence, they would give you on form basically what the documents look like in the federal rules of civil procedure. But they even that was incomplete. It was just enough so they could get in there and you could play Judge Wapner. It wasn't real law. But what the federal rules of civil procedure, they'll tell you, like in a civil, they'll give you the civil procedure. Like if somebody did break your fence, the first thing you would do is you would you'd write them a letter of demand, like I said, in the common law, in the true law, they'll tell you just write a letter telling you broke my fence and I want some money for it. But that's not how it works. It would be an affidavit form. It would be written in fact. You would have the dates correct, the times correct, and you would tell how the fence got broke. And it would be sworn testimony, and you would, because it is a civil matter, you wouldn't need a second witness, though you may have witnesses in the background, because you're just writing a letter of demand. Anyway, you'd write your letter of demand, and the person you wrote it to, I think, would have 30 days to reply. And if they replied back and said, I broke your fence, I'm going to pay, I'll have somebody come and put a fence in. If that settles it, fine. If it doesn't, or they come back and say, I'm just not going to pay for your fence, well, then you would move on to the next stage, which means you would go to the court. But, you know, on a fence, like I said, they give you some form that isn't accurate. I mean, it wouldn't be pure, purely true in common law, but it would be the procedure. The next point would be a complaint, where you'd write out the complaint in affidavit form, and if you had a second witness, it would be sweet to have them there, because it was a crime to tear down your fence. Maybe they did it maliciously. Maybe you want to throw a crime in there. If you did, you'd need the second witness. If you didn't, you wouldn't. You would just, I mean, maybe you had photographs of, maybe you caught them on film tearing up your fence. You would file your complaint. They would have 30 days to file their answer or a counter complaint. If they failed, then you would have a summary judgment. They would owe you the money for the fence. And you could say, well, that don't work too well because that ain't the court. And actually the court can't force them to pay you, give you their property, for something like a fence. They can't confiscate it, but once you have a judgment, you have an open judgment that hasn't been satisfied, and you can sure as heck go down and put a lien on everything they own that is registered with the county or the state where, you know, properties, whatever it might be. And if ever they want to sell their properties, most people don't like to have a lien on their property, especially if they're in the wrong. They'll just go ahead and pay you. But say they don't, and say maybe they come back and say, man, I didn't tear up your fence, or I didn't do the damage that you're claiming. I did put a little dent in your fence, but hell, you got a whole section tore out there. I didn't do that. I put a little dent, and that's all I'm paying for. And I will pay for that, but no more. And so then you get, well, we're going to have us a jury trial to see what's going on here, to see who's in the right and who's in the wrong, who owes what. So then you would go and you would file for the trial. You want a jury trial. You just file an affidavit saying that I'm who I am and I demand the right to a jury trial in this case number blah, blah, blah. And then they would put a jury together in the common law. The sheriff would go out in the streets and pick the first 12 people that he's seen and said, you're going to be on a jury. Because you won a cross section, and that is your right. I mean, this is where your right to a verdict by your peers falls into the equation. So then they would put the people together. You would set a trial date, and you'd come in. You'd present your evidence. The other person would present their evidence. It would go to the jury. The jury would come out with the verdict. The judge would read it, and that case would be settled. And everybody would agree upon it because they had the process. You had your rights protected. And generally, 12 people listening to testimony will get things pretty close to correct if they're decent folk, which used to be what this country was made up of. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We will be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shy via Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1237 Pacific Time, and that was Audio Slave with Drown Me Slowly. Back to Katie's question, you know, on the writ, this is kind of like your a letter of demand. I mean, an enforcement issue. Let's say you went out on your property and some people were on your property. You go, what are you doing here? You're on private property. You need to leave. Well, we're here mapping out a oil pipeline to go across your property here. We've gotten an authorization from the county and the state that says we can do it. Really? Really, you did? I don't recall no due process of law there. Did you just got okay from the state to come on my property? I got news for you, buddy. The state has no authority over my property. I'm a free national of the United States. So what would you do? Well, the first thing you'd do, probably call the sheriff. Because when you think about how you would actually use these in the real world, if you had that limited government, which you do not have, it wasn't that much. I mean, there were only a few officials. And they were either involved in the commerce end of it or else they were a constable or a sheriff right from the people or a justice of the peace. So you'd call the sheriff out there and you say, "Sheriff, I want these people off my property right now. Get them out of here now or I'm going to have to get ugly about this." And the sheriff go, and the guy walk over and shows, "This is my permission from the state. I can go right through here." Really? Then the sheriff, he's sitting there looking at that paper, and he goes, "Well, he's got this paper, so you'd sit down and you'd write you a mandamus." And everything, like I said, I don't even look at it as like this federal rules of civil procedure, criminal procedure, any of this crap anymore. It's just straight up affidavits. It's inserting authority through affidavits of truth. And so I would head my document, affidavit of truth, for the office of the sheriff for the county of the Klamath for the state of the Oregon. I'd start out, you know, describing my, say, I, the undersigned of this document, am the affiant within, as affirmed by the affiant, end of statement. And then I would go on, and see, you don't get them for what they do, you get them for what they fail to do. Because the Bill of Rights is a prohibition, and they are sworn, each one of them, that's why they raise that hand, and they swear to protect and defend the Constitution, and that's the Bill of Rights, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I would tell that, I would lay it out to that sheriff, you know, that on this date, these people, you would write it in present tense always, whatever so-and-so is on my property, located, you'd identify the property right down to the lot. And without my authorization. And then you'd come to the next sentence and lay it all out again, as affirmed by the affiant. They were asked to leave the property, they won't leave. As affirmed by the affiant, the sheriff was, you know, you'd lay it out, and it would be in, written in fact, the sheriff is called to the property by the affiant for the purpose of the removal of the unlawful perpetrators upon the property. And then so you go on down through it, and you'd lay it all out, and then you'd put that the sheriff has failed to secure the fourth article right of the affiant, is there is no warrant was, you know, you lay it out, there was no warrant, there is no legal authorization, there was no due process. Like I said, you can go right down the Bill of Rights. Anytime one of them is violated, you can pretty much throw them all in there, because it is. But you put them, they failed to uphold their oath, because their oath says they will protect and defend it. And then you would, at the end of it, you would order that sheriff. You would order that sheriff to enforce the law, which would be your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth article rights to the due process. And the sheriff, I mean, he's under lawful order now. If he goes along with it one more step, then the next step is the magistrate, where you go and you file a criminal complaint against him for violation of his oath of office, and you lay it out the same way in an affidavit. The top of it say affidavit for the truth in the court for the superior, for the county of the Klamath, in the state of the Oregon. And you would lay it out for the superior court, and you would demand a jury trial on the fact. And so then once you've filed, I mean, you file a criminal charge against the sheriff. That is a crime. To violate the oath is a crime. And they would also be participating in the crime of trespass upon your property. So you would order it all stopped, and you'd order the law to be obeyed. If it didn't occur, if the magistrate didn't directly order it, then you would file the criminal charges, and you would take it. And eventually, after you follow the process to make sure everybody's rights are secured, you'll end up in front of a jury consisting of 12 people dragged off the street who also live in your community and have property there. And they would be like, "What?" Well, only thing that they could look at is the fact. Did they have a warrant to be on your property? Well, no, they didn't. Did they go to a court to get an order from a court to be on your property? Well, they can't. They're a big corporation out of Canada. They can't even come in our courts. And the government went along with this? Who went along with this? I mean, this is what it would be in a grand jury investigation. Then the grand jury would start calling people in before the trial ever started. And you'd probably have a whole handful of indictments by the time the day was. They just wouldn't have done it in the day, people, when people understood how to enforce their rights. And should this all fail, there's the second article. You have the right. Then you come to force majeure. The law has failed to do what the law says it has to do. That means there is no law. That means I have the right to defend myself and my property by any means I find necessary. There is no law. And that's where we're really at today. That being said, let's go ahead and then we'll call that wound up. And we're going to go to some acts of treachery. Why not? Trump administration considering DREAM Act's amnesty for 1 million illegal immigrants. This is from Washington Times, sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Now, we all remember Trump. Now, what was Trump going to do? Let's see. Check. Oh, yeah, he was going to throw every illegal out of this country. Everybody who came here illegally had to leave. Remember that? That was, hey, that's what he's campaigning on. And that's why that this whole charade played out like it did. And he was, I mean, actually, they had no choice but to put this carnival barker in the highest position of power, supposedly for the United States government. Was because, I mean, everybody knows it's the truth. But the truth, it just really doesn't seem to matter anymore, does it? So here he is, man. 1 million. I mean, he's completely went to 180. I mean, we haven't seen the deportations. You tell me yourself when you were listening to this, if it would have been true, well, I mean, it would be quite a to-do going on right now, wouldn't it? There would be fleets of buses hauling people out of this country. They'll say, well, apprehensions are up 60%. Yeah, but 30% are still coming through, and they 50% were before. So really, you're only talking about 20% that you claim that you're getting when we're getting reports from the border that nothing's changed down there. They're still bringing them in, handing them the money, sending them on planes all over your country so that they can come in and, well, cut up your son and rape your daughter. But here Trump, he is, man. I mean, right in your face. Of course, you know, people, they'll still try to talk about giving them a chance. And I mean, the whole thing is so obtuse because the fact is it's operating under a dictatorship. I mean, if you can't see that, you're just completely blind. If you cannot see that the people are not the power in this country, try to convince yourself that the people are controlling things. And just, I go vote for the guy that's controlling things, and that makes me control. No, that don't make you control. Igmo. It means that you're too stupid to be breathing the same air as me, that you are acquiescent to the tyranny I'm suffering under, and I'm really thinking I got to hold you guilty for, aiding and abetting an occupation in my country, you moron. The Trump administration last week floated an amnesty idea. Well, the Trump administration, amnesty? I mean, wasn't that just the most terrible thing in the world? It was a violation of the Constitution. Remember when Obama did it? And even the main Supreme Court, you know, that can actually say if the, you know, it's supposed to be checking to see if the government's abiding by the Bill of Rights and by the law. I said, well, yeah, he did kind of go around the whole Constitution in a tyrannical dictatorship kind of act and granted amnesty. In fact, gave away a chunk of this country, because that's really what's happening when they bring these huge lots of people in here and then, oh, make them citizens. We're going to make them citizens. Well, they just took from every one of us that was here that owned this place legitimately without due process of the law, people. This is where it all comes together. Did you, I mean, every one of us, I mean, the 3 million that Reagan let in here, that he had no authority to let in here. Now, what in reality happened there? Well, everybody had a portion of what belongs to them as this United States taken from them and given to these people from other countries. Now you tell me, I don't remember going to court. I don't remember the process guaranteed in the fifth article before any property can be removed from me. And it is our property. If it's not ours, I would like to know whose it is. And I don't want to hear this whole federal thing, because that would be a violation of the ninth article. That would be, you know, them taking control. I mean, they can take control of that piece of property, or that they can take control of that piece of property over there. Hell, they could tell you something like you can't own gold, which is saying you can't own nothing. If that you talk about an exception, I guess that would be quite the exception, don't you think? And again, here, you know, this charlatan, this liar. I mean, so I guess what happened here is we just got screwed for another 4 years by the geniuses out there. So Uncle Trump, he's going to get rid of him. He told me. He really told me. And I trust him. We got to give him a chance. Well, here's what he's doing with his chance, moron. In 2 days of testimony to Congress, Homeland Security, Homeland Security Secretary John F. Kelly said he doubts his ability to oust some 250,000 immigrants from Central American countries who have been in the United States for nearly two decades under a temporary humanitarian relief program. I guess that was a fraud when they told us it was going to be a temporary thing, because, man, now you got this guy said, we just can't make him leave. Why? Why can't you make him leave? They are here in violation of our law. Why can't you make a move? Because you won't enforce our law. Why won't you enforce our law? Well, because we've got a billionaire at the helm now. And like I told you people way back when, I just don't see a billionaire throwing out cheap labor. I just can't see it. I mean, this would be a way to make all labor cheap. And if you can make the labor cheap enough, you can work the people to the point that where they're actually going in debt as they slave their lives away, and you can use that debt to take everything in the goddamn country, can't you? But I mean, I love this statement. I don't have the ability to oust 250,000. Well, you better find them, you son of a bitch. You want us to come down there and do it? We'll show you how it's done. Where's the records? Turn them over now. You got the, I mean, they have the, I mean, well, this just gets better. From Central America, at the humanitarian relief program, temporary. He also signaled that he would keep protecting, in violation of the law, in violation of his oath, he will keep protecting 780,000 dreamers from deportation and hoped Congress would grant them permanent status. See, this is what I told you guys back there when they were arguing about all this. What was the argument they were trying to get across, rather than you don't, none of you son of a bitches have the authority to give our country away to anybody, excuse me? What was the argument? Well, they were, only Congress can pass such law. No, Congress can't. But that was what they were trying to get in our head, just like with these, this gun control BS. You know, they try to get, well, you know, for hunting and fish, or for hunting and target practice, and we have the right, and that's what they want the argument to be, instead of, no, you can't. You can't even to any little degree remove or infringe on a right. And you can't to any little degree refuse to enforce our laws when you've raised your hand and given sworn, I mean, that's, that go, you go to jail, excuse me. Damn it. But you know, what you got here is what they're trying to portray to you. It's like Trump. Well, Trump decided today. Who in the hell is Trump? A glorified clerk is all that Trump is. That's all the authority the son of a bitch has. And or like Jeff Sessions. We have another article here. Jeff Sessions has decided that he wants to go after medical marijuana users and, you know, use the power of government to come in and, you know, remove the medical marijuana because it's a gateway drug. Jeff Sessions decided. You ever wonder who in the hell these people think they are? Well, they voted in the Republican platform, and see, this is what we were talking about, people. And now they, with this article here, they're talking about, well, Congress really, you know, Congress needs to give it away to them because, well, the president didn't have no authority. I've got news for you. Congress has no authority. If Congress gives them away from it, gives our a piece of my property that is this United States over to one of these foreigners, where's my due process of the law? It can't be legal, okay? It isn't legal. It never was. There was never no acquiescence of the properties of this country being turned over to, oh, well, our servants. But he also signaled that he would keep protecting 700. That what he's doing, if you and I were doing, that's called harboring a fugitive. That's using, well, a public office to harbor fugitives. And this is what he should be arrested for right now. But hey, man, you got Trump in here. He's going to enforce law. He's going to enforce some laws on you, all right, just like I was talking about the marijuana thing. It's been cutting into their international drug trade that people, you know, people in the United States are growing their own marijuana. They're using it without permission, without paying. I mean, they're not making their bucks on it, and now old Trumpy, he's the kingpin. He's at the top of the heap there, man. And they need this homegrown marijuana removed from the equation. If you people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If they did come down and bust all of the medical marijuana facilities and everybody growing a plant, if they just came in with an army and just stopped it all, would there be marijuana tomorrow? Sure there would. It'd be from Mexico. It'd be from Colombia. It would be brought in illegally. And these gangsters would be making all of the tons of money rather than the states, like here in Oregon, or not here in Oregon, Colorado anyway, taxing it or what might have you, which they have no right to do. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, like that list of bureaucrats that were put up on the site yesterday. And that's just the federal end of it. It's the drug war. It's a $40 billion, and boy, you don't think old Trumpy's down for industry. That's a $40 billion industry that should have never existed. They never had no authority to declare a drug war. They never had no authority ever once, ever since the founding of this country, to tell any American what they can or cannot eat, drink, or stick up their ass, period. Ninth article forbids it. We keep coming back to that Bill of Rights because that Bill of Rights is our freedom. And it is been under attack. I mean, you think the effort, I mean, just the fact that you go up and this most, I mean, all of you people understand how important that document is. The statements on that document, those rights you were born with are. But your average person, I mean, even people who are disgusted with this whole mess, you walk up to them and ask them what the Bill of Rights is and how it works and even name a couple of them. Well, there's Second Amendment. I know that one. And the 10th Amendment. I know that one.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dion. Hey, if you try to tell most clowns that these days, you know, tell them that they're not subject to government, the government's supposed to be their servant, and you're supposed to be their master, they'll look at you like you got a bunch of hogwash on your face, man. These folks are so indoctrinated, and they are so just brainwashed. When you try to tell them that, hey, man, you're supposed to be as free as long as you don't bother anybody else or their property, you can do anything you want to do. They'll look at you like you're crazy.
Well, it has been a whole lot of years of indoctrination into it, and it really it comes down to more cowardice than craziness, Dion, in my opinion. I mean, it's not that hard to understand. You look at that Bill of Rights, and I mean, like you were talking the other day about being pulled over. It wouldn't be hard for you to read that Bill of Rights and find out where your rights were violated, now would it? And as soon as you understand why they were, then you sit there and you go, how did they violate them? They're operating outside of the Bill of Rights. They can't. And, you know, they could try to say, well, we had this robo-warrant, and we had a robo-cop, and we're all roboed you right on the side of the road. And you say, well, you can't have that. You can't have that authority. What do you mean we can't have that authority? Well, the ninth article says you cannot have that authority. You can have no authority to violate this right. It's that simple. But once you cop... go ahead, Katie.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt there.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, just a minute... quiet. I hear even over on other Patriot networks, you know, they talk about the Bill of Rights is a list of prohibitions. But I think I realize what is missing is that it is the process of prosecuting your life.
Yes.
It's not just a list of prohibition, but I think that's where people really need to wake up to the reality that is how you prosecute your life. Otherwise, there is no process. You see what I'm saying? It's just,
yep.
You know, you ask somebody about the vote. Yeah, I know about the Second Amendment, blah, 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 whatever. It's First Amendment, first article. And that's it. But there's no conceptual reality that, hey, this is how you prosecute your life.
It is. It's a body of law. It's not only prohibitions. But when you got to see it, it is prohibitions to the government. But when that government official stands up there and takes that oath to defend it and protect it, it goes beyond a prohibition to something that he has to advocate for. He has to defend that. He has to be the number one defender of it when the people aren't there in place to do it. And it's a body of law. It is the procedures
right.
And the maximums to prosecute your freedom, to make sure you stay free. If somebody starts meddling in your life or, you know, trying to sway you some way you don't want to go, to detain you, you've got the right there's the apparatus. You shut them down. You just can't do it. See, here's the Bill of Rights, mister. And well, now you've got this army of corporate cops out there. I got to doubt that they even take an oath anymore. If they do, it's to the state or to the corporation. But you, again, you have the body of law, and I mean, it's right there. I mean, this is the law. I mean, I've always, like the cop, you go, is this the law? Yeah, but we got this authorization from the state that we can stop you on the side of the road if we think we might give you a ticket or something. No, but no, you can't, because you're not satisfying. You are failing to satisfy the requirements of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, aren't you? I mean, you can read, can't you, mister? But I mean, this is where we're at, people, and it's come to the point to where they think that they have ignored it to the extent that people are, and people are, they're accepting, like Dion was talking about, they're accepting it. You will accept right over to that ditch where you're kneeling down getting ready to get that bullet through your head, I guess. I mean, where do you draw your lines? I guess that's the question. We're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, you're right, Katie. People need to read it and understand. This is your freedom. This is the essence of it. This is what makes it possible. And you have to make it happen. You have to prosecute your own life, and that is The Word from the Trenches.